So between you two, who wants to go first?
Don't go. Chris?
Let me look for my Del Toro notes.
Sounds like we might be.
He's got notes? Holy crap. You find your notes?
It's...
You want to go first?
I can.
Okay, go for it. I can see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye to my thinking. Now that my thinking's gone, I got nothing to say. Determination, I know that I have got to persist. Just gotta keep on anticipating, cause it's so.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Comic Pop Library, episode 14. Tonight we have Chris, Matt, and I. Johnny's not here with us tonight. This episode we'll be reviewing Bat Island, and Matt is going to review Skylander.
Mm-hmm.
So we will get into it, boys and girls. Bat Island is by Doug Timpanel. It is a published work by Scholastic, so that kind of gives some of the listening audience the idea that it's pretty safe to be put into a school library. He has done some other books. The Tommysaurus Rex, Monster Zoo, Creature Tech, and Ghostopolis is his latest. I have actually read Creature Tech and wasn't too bad. It's a little bit more mature and you'd probably want to put it in your higher teen level. But Bat Island starts off on another planet where giant creatures live in a symbiotic relationship. One creature looks like a giant rock robotic type creature and has several stories tall, the way I look at it and see it.
He looks pretty big in the book.
True. And they have a relationship with what looks like humans for their symbiotic relationship. Another creature-esque type giant insect, almost looks like a tick or a bed bug or something, is the other big creature of the story, and their symbiotic is with humanoids that kind of, to me, look like praying mantises or another type insect looking. And yes, I'm talking with my arms again. That's just me, guys. The two creatures are at war. The rock creatures have to have the humanoids to place cartridges into their brains so they can armor up and go into war. They do have a king and the prince, and the king tells the prince that he cannot go into the war because if he dies, he needs somebody to take over the kingdom.
These cartridges in 8-bit?
It's, wow, it almost looks like a 3¾ disc almost. But the prince goes into battle anyway, disobeying his father, his symbiotic relationship of the humanoids. Because the king ordered them not to go into battle, they abandon him. They do not armor him up or anything. So he flies off into space and does battle, and of course, he gets captured. And the big bad tick-like creatures tell the king, you know, if you want your son to live, you have to surrender, and your son's being sent off to a far-off place.
I've been there once.
Yeah.
I'm there right now.
Yeah, right there. The far-off places
Earth. Yes. The far-off places Earth. And they gets thrown all the way there, and we go to a family here on Earth. And this family involves Reese, who is a teenage son, Janie, who is basically an elementary daughter, Karen is the wife and mother, and Lyle is the husband and father. And they're getting ready to go on a family sailing trip. And Reese is not too hip on this. He doesn't want to go. He wants to stay home. He's old enough. He can take
typical
care of
rebellious
himself.
Teenager.
True. My friends are doing it. I should be able to do it.
That's right.
But the father says, no, everybody's going, and off they tromps the next day and get onto the sailboat that the family had purchased. And while they're out at sea, a freak storm hits and pretty much capsizes them on this deserted island. And that's where the main story really takes place. The father shoots off all the flares, pretty much uses all the matches to make signal fires at the very first time that they're there. And
gotta panic everything. First.
Yes. And of course, nobody's around, so nobody sees it. So then they have to start exploring the island. So off they go, Swiss Family Robinson style. And they come across a cave that has a dead skeletal explorer in it. And there they just rob the dead. They just pretty much scavenge what they can from him. They get a machete, a knife, a little satchel carrier, and this cartridge, what they call an ancient artifact. And it's kind of looks like an 8-track tape in a sense, with a little, with a little notch, with a little bit of a notch cut out of the side at the top. So that's why it says it kind of almost reminds me of a 3¾ disc, because it has that angled notch, but not quite that extreme. But the mother gets the cartridge, and it has memories or information stored on it. Then they learn just by touch, it starts feeding them information.
It doesn't actually look like an 8-track. It looks more like an old Nintendo.
Was that okay?
There you go.
That's what it is
8-bit.
That's exactly what it looks like.
So they use that for information because they're seeing their plant life is different than what should be on Earth. Animal life is different than what should be on Earth. The husband keeps the machete. He gives his son the knife, and he gives the bag to his daughter because she brought along her pet snake on the trip. During the capsizing of the sailboat, it died, and she won't let it go.
So she's carrying around this dead snake.
My
lord.
Clinging to it.
What kind of snake is it?
I don't know, but it bit the dad.
The dead snake bit the dad right in the eye.
He was alive at the time.
That was before the sailing trip. So they're talking about how it's stinking and everything, so he gives her the bag to enclose the smell so they can't smell it. And while they're still exploring the island, and the insectile type humanoid comes out because he was the one that took the son to Earth and pretty much abandoned him. And they don't learn this until later on, but that's who it is. And they start chasing them, trying to kill them and get the cartridge back. And on this cartridge and in other different parts of the island, there are these sigils that are in place. And Reese and Jane kind of figure out that these are meant, they mean something. So when they start running from these creatures and the insectoid alien, the father pretty much lets Reese take over and follows him, and they start following these because the sigil that they first see when they stand next to it says hiding place. So they go straight back to that rock, and they find out it's basically like an entryway into another underground area so that they can be safe.
Always like those welcome mats in
yes.
front of invisible
hitters right here.
And most of the story is just that they're being chased by the alien and the alien creatures that the insectoid alien has implanted on the island. And they keep going to different places and going, and their final destination they find out is the prince's brain. So this has been the prince all along that they've been on, not an island. It's just dirt and vegetation has grown up over the prince's body. That kind of gives you another clue how big he is. If he's out at sea and he's basically kind of hunched down, like you would be kind of crouched down. So that kind of gives you an idea. So his back and head are kind of protruding out of the water. I mean, it's imaginative. They take the cartridge and they find out, oh, this is his, get him to wake up. So they slap it into the empty hole and he wakes up and, of course, defeats all the alien creatures and the insectoid, humanoid type looking person. He gathers them up, makes one giant leap, and they're back at the dock. He drops them off and they can't understand a word he's saying. And you're kind of like, oh, this is the goodbye moment. But no, he just turns around, takes off into space. And the ending is the family kind of walking off the dock, and the son was like telling his father, you know, I was planning on running away that night.
Was this graphic novel kind of weird for you?
Well, for somebody who reads fantasy, and I don't know, somebody that's more grounded into sports or everyday life, probably they would be.
Sounds like you took a bunch of weird parts in your the teenager with the dead snake.
Yes.
Walking into the prince's brain.
But
so
the father said he knew what was going on. And
so how's the artwork in it?
Artwork is kind of cartoony. That's not a bad thing.
Kind of.
It fits the story. It is in color. It's not black and white. The creature tech I read of his before, it was more of a black and white two-tone. And it's the creature tech was one where they took the Christ story and the scientist was not really religious. And he made a contraption and he went into a parallel world or another world, and he went into all the creatures, and he kind of started understanding with how they would talk. And then at the very end, it was their Christ story. So in essence, it's saying, you know, there could be alien worlds, but each one, still talking with my hands, I apologize. With each one,
we know you're just mad at the mic.
Yes,
stop beating it up.
The maker has I'm that way, I'm cruel. The maker has made every planet, and they have their savior on every planet. So it was kind of interesting. Not quite as far out as Bad Island was, but if you're dealing with preteen boys, they would probably get into it. A higher teenager of 15 or higher, unless they're really into fantasy, probably would not enjoy this as much. They could probably read it, but they would probably be like, yeah, so, you know, know, I could see a 11, 12-year-old really.
What's your first thoughts on it, Matt?
I just read a little bit of it. Yeah, not doesn't look like a whole lot to the story. Kind of cartoony artwork. I would agree, what do we call it, tween age book.
Yep.
Not much more than that. I just launched your bookmark. I hope that wasn't where you got to. It's kind of cartoony. Do you want to look at it?
No.
It doesn't look like it's a bad story. Just doesn't look like it's an epic story either.
No, it's not. It's a very simple story. You can definitely tell it's geared for a younger audience.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing objectionable in it. Like I said, Scholastic put it out. It'd be safe within a middle school library.
Oh, yeah. Easily.
But if you're looking for something for the tween boys, which is a little bit of a difficult area to find for, it would be something to add to the collection.
It is interesting. The island they're on is actually the prince. That's kind of a neat little twist in there. But I don't think anything spectacular with the book.
No.
Other than it would be a good...
And you can see the twist with the island was kind of like the... Is it Discworld, where the elephant has the island on it?
I don't know.
Terry Pratchett?
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. Keep talking with that hand.
I want to get Logan, but he has no mic. The island with the turtle. Yes, Discworld. Okay. I wasn't crazy. Logan's here as well, everybody, but he said he wasn't going to participate, but I needed his backup.
I don't remember that one.
These two guys aren't helping here. But in Terry Pratchett's Discworld, it has the island that turns out to be a turtle. But that's pretty much what I see it as. Tween book.
You know, in Avatar, they have big floating turtles that have like trees and they look like islands too. Not the blue guy's Avatar, the Last Airbender.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, you have
towards
to watch
the end of the cartoon series.
The Last Airbender.
It's been a few years since I watched that.
Yeah. But no, it didn't look bad. It's not something I would pick up as an adult trying to want to read, but it didn't look like a bad book.
And it's fairly short. It's not long. It's one and done. It's one book. That's it.
Yeah, it definitely, when I look at the end, they get back home.
Yeah, they're safe.
Yeah, so.
No teary-eyed goodbye, just walk back home.
Thanks. See ya, kind of thing. Yeah, it looks pretty good. Not bad, so. I won't say it's a bad thing. Any other comments, Chris?
I didn't read it.
Putting you on the spot.
I have lots of comments, but none of them are appropriate.
What do you mean? That's it for Bad Island. We go in, and we'd like to thank MusicAlley.com for providing our intro and outro for us today. We use Andrew Loebman's Train of Thought for our intro and outro, and if you like independent music and small indie music, you might give them a shot at MusicAlley.com. They'll have a wide variety of stuff to listen to, and if you enjoy it, it's 99 cents per song, and you might find something you like, so give them a shot, or give them a try. And I think next we have Matt.
We're going to do Skylander, which Richard's not a video game.
A video game.
Yeah, we're doing a video game, which Richard...
the non-gamer.
Right. Oh, the non-gamer of the group, for sure. How can you read comic books and not be a gamer? I think that's just wrong.
It hit me at the wrong time.
Yeah, you're a little bit older.
I was at that age where computers were coming in, and I could have diverged and took the computer path or stayed and went the more traditional, and I went the traditional.
Okay.
Because I was right at that stage when they started coming into the forefront. I mean, we learned BASIC in high school.
Oh, yeah.
Fortran.
Wow. Now you are dating yourself age. So my son wanted Skylanders, so we ended up buying that for him. He paid for part of it.
Whatever. It was for you.
No, actually, I wasn't even sure what it was until he mentioned it.
No, you said you were a gamer, though.
This grief was brought to you by Chris.
Not quite. I'm usually a PC gamer, not much of a console gamer. Okay? So I did a little research on it, found out a little bit about the game, bought the game for him. You have to buy a starter pack, which if a library would want to do it. I've talked with my hands, too.
Just don't hit your mic like he did.
you buy the starter pack, and I think Walmart sells them for around $70. You might be able to find one cheaper online. And this is something a library needs to be aware of if they're going to check these out. Either it's a package deal, or I don't know if they want to individually do it. It's kind of up to them. But it comes with three characters, the game itself, the portal, and then at least on the Wii...
Little plastic thing that looks like a drum.
Yeah, it kind of does.
I was thinking if it's the same... Is it the same... God. I did it again. Yes. Is it the same base they use for the demo?
Yeah, it looks just like that.
Okay, so I kind of look at it as like a little pistol, and where you... turn up and
oh, yeah.
mix up your magic potions.
A cauldron.
What is it called in science, though? Isn't that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. But they call that that's the portal that you use. I don't know.
It's
about
not like the portal of like Stargate SG1
yeah.
where
yeah, it's not quite
vertical.
That.
This is a horizontal.
And you drop down in instead of going.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that, on at least on the Wii, and I don't know if it, on the Xbox or the PS3 or how they do it even with the Nintendo DS.
Actually, it's more like a dance floor.
Yeah, it's a dance floor for the Skylanders. And it is available.
It's not like they pass through it or anything.
So
they just
horrible.
Sit on it.
True. You got to use your imagination, though, Chris. Come on.
That comes with, on the Wii, a USB device that connects the portal to your Wii. And I don't know how it works with the DS or any of those.
I was going to say DS.
Does it work with the DS?
Yeah. Yeah, you can buy it for the DS. They have it. Okay. We saw it. It has it at Walmart.
Really?
You can buy it for the DS, the Xbox, the Wii, and the PS3. So it is available, and, you know, if the library has all of those for that. And you get 3 Skylanders starter kit with it. And then each Skylander after that's about $9 or so.
Is it for each, or do you get
each
a 3-pack?
You get one. They sell them in, I think, 3-packs, and I'm not sure how much those are. But there are something like...
There's 30 or 40 of them.
40 of them, different yeah. Skylanders. It's kind of a neat little game. It's a...
I want one of the undead ones.
Yeah.
They have an undead dragon.
It's kind of an RPG adventure slash, I don't know, hack and slash, if you want to say that, on a cartoon level.
Well, you know, there is a comic book called Hack and Slash, but it's dealing with kind of like 80s slasher films is the topic, so I don't know if we want to use hack slash.
Well,
it's a gaming
pusher.
Genre.
It's
hack and slash.
Hack and slash is a gaming genre of
first person shooter. Is another one
RPG, which is role playing.
MMO,
right.
MMO. You know all those. So we'll get the non gamer.
I do know
up on
some
this.
Of those.
Okay, and basically you start out with a storyline of the evil darkness.
Did you talk about
came
the different
and up
the different
portal.
elemental talents?
I was going to get into that.
Oh, okay.
A little bit in the game. And
Chris
in
likes
the
this
gameplay.
One too. Evidently,
he came over and played it for a little bit just so he knew what it was. Basically, the story comes along that the evil, the dark, come and destroy the portal of light, which disperse the Skylanders to basically Earth. That's where you get them. You put them on the portal that transports them so you can play them in the Skylanders world. And you are on your adventure to collect the 8, I think it's 8 elements, to rebuild the portal of light. Now, the 8 elements, each Skylander has a unique one of those elements. And I cannot tell you what all 8 were other than there was undead, water, fire, earth,
water,
air,
did you say
magic,
water?
Tech. And I can't remember what they all were. And
that's close to 8 there.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
That was like 7 or 8. I don't remember. And the part of with this is each one in the game, there are certain areas of the game that you cannot get into unless you have that genre, whatever you want to call it, tech, you know, mm-hmm. like a tech Skylander.
I call it talent.
Talent, genre, however you want to say it. There may be a spot in a map that you need a water Skylander to open the door to get into a certain part of it.
And this is what the portal's for, because you can take your character off and put other characters on.
I'm sorry.
And then switch.
When you said water, I know the characters are creatures, so
yeah.
I think of water and I'm like, are they lifting their legs to water these things or what? I'm sorry. I just went through my head. I know I'm bad.
Oh, man.
I don't think any of them is a dog.
No, I don't think so.
Spiral. He's a dragon or...
Yeah, he's a dragon. Yeah, which Spyro is in it. He's a dragon.
Flame of Fury.
And as you go, you collect money, per se, and level up your character. And you need both of those in order to upgrade weaponry.
Can you play against each other online?
There is a battle mode. I haven't done a battle mode, which is just...
You mean versus?
Yeah, versus each other. But I don't think it's online.
Not a co-op?
No, I don't think it's a co-op. I'm not sure how it all actually works. Because my son wanted to take this game out to a friend's house. So we took the game. The portal and his Skylander. The funny thing about it was all the upgrades and everything we have done to his Skylanders transferred when we plugged it into the other person's Wii, but
the game hadn't stored on the
portal or whatever.
I think it stores it on the portal because my son had a friend over, spent the night last night. He brought over his Skylanders, all of them on my portal of level
Wiimote.
One.
I don't know why I couldn't remember Wiimote.
Yeah, the Wiimote.
It stores
but,
it
but
on
all
Wiimote.
His, all his characters were level one. So I haven't quite figured out how all of that worked.
It almost sounds like the portal's a memory card at the same time.
It might be, and I'm not exactly
But you don't have
sure.
to take the portal with you. You can use a friend's portal and it still retains it.
No.
That's what he was no. saying.
So it's all in the portal.
I think it's all in the portal. And as I
that
said, I don't know how all of that actually works, but it is something to be aware of. It's definitely a neat little game, you know.
And you said you
kids.
Could reset the stats on your
yeah,
guys.
You can reset the stats on the guys.
If you're at a library.
The library wants to do that. There was some things you could do too, like nicknaming and stuff like that of the Skylanders. I haven't gotten a real whole lot of that. My son has been playing way more than I have. And I will put in the plug, my son is a horrible co-op gamer.
Okay.
See, you can't get too far away from each other
exactly.
in the game because it tethers you.
You can get to the two ends of the screen. Well,
and you
he's
can't
going to go over there and you're going, no, but dude, the thing's over. And he's like, and yeah, he's just, he's only eight. So yeah, he's just, horrible.
Yeah, and it's not like tug of war. It's not like tug of war where you could drag the other guy because right. if you're both going in a different direction, you just kind of stay there, kind of running, going nowhere
so,
fast.
Yeah, I know it's a pretty popular thing.
You know what?
At the moment.
I'm just thinking, we need to put this on video so that you can see us doing all of our...
No!
That's what I was wondering, video cast? Maybe not
No, maybe one video cast a year.
That's funny. Okay, go ahead.
But this seems like it's a pretty popular game. I know it might seem a little expensive at $70, but you do get quite a bit with it.
But any new game's $60 usually.
Yeah, any new game, pretty much.
And
PC
you don't get
game.
Characters.
Yeah.
Or a portal.
Or the portal, which you need to play the game. So yeah, when you think of it in that way, $70 isn't too bad when a game's usually around $50 or $60 when they came out. So
librarians are looking for this on to get cheap. The main aspect is the game and the portal characters.
Yes,
if you don't find those, they can be all right. But sounds like if you don't have that portal, the game's pretty much
yeah. If you don't have the portal, you can't play the game. Yeah,
but
because
but if kids had the figures at their house,
yeah. which is kind of one of the things when I started researching this a little bit too was for a library aspect of it. I thought it wasn't a bad deal because okay, maybe a parent doesn't want to or a child doesn't have $70 to spend on a game if their parents doesn't buy it for them, but they may have $10 to go buy a character.
And that's what I was looking at because when I first saw them, I thought they were just pack-ins, which yes, they are, but nothing to do with the game.
Yeah,
you know, they're about the size of the little inch and a half to 2-inch Yu-Gi-Oh characters
yeah.
or Pokemon
they look
that
like
they
a
had
click.
Back in the day.
They look like a click character.
A Hero yeah. Clicks type deal.
Mm-hmm.
So at first I didn't realize it was part of the game. I just thought it was something to, you know, the
like
kids
a
got a toy
thing.
As well as a game. But so I'm,
you do
I can
get collector
see.
Cards. And there is
so they're mashing
Wii
up
code?
A lot of stuff. They're, yeah. The Gashapon, which you guys, I don't know if you know what that is. That's the little characters, Gashapon. That's what they're called in Japan.
Okay.
And
I learned something new today.
The little plastic characters, the 2.5-inch. They also do some 4-inches. You get to put them together.
Okay.
The card gaming aspect, the video gaming aspect. So they're blending
a bunch
three
of...
different types.
Yeah.
The Hero Clicks, like Chris said as well, because the character is involved with it. So a kid, like you said, they can get the character
they
and
could...
use that as a piece to display, and whenever mm-hmm. they rent it from the library, they can play
it.
The
they could play it too. So it wouldn't be bad, and that's why I said this is all from a Wii aspect of it because that's what I own. I don't have a PS3 or an Xbox to try it to know if this is all the same way. I'm going to assume it all works the same. That's why I said assume. I don't quite know how an Xbox and a PS3 work. And I'm
are they
say
are they available for the
yes,
all the consoles?
They're supposed
yes.
to be.
Yeah, they actually have them at Walmart. They have them at Walmart.
Do they have a PC version?
No, not to my knowledge. Because we looked at it another day, and the sales clerk only said he didn't even mention DS. He just mentioned PS3, Xbox,
and
the Wii.
The only reason I know it's the... We were at Walmart today, and of course my son is all gung-ho for another character.
That's where they get you.
Oh, yeah. And I even said, you know, you probably need one of each. That's good. But he used his own money, so I'm cool.
10 times 40?
Yep. $470, baby.
That's where they get you.
Yeah, and that's what I said. I don't know if a library needs to buy more than the portal and the game if you can find it that way. Everything I have seen, you get at least three characters with it. It's their starter pack. You cannot buy just the game. You have to buy the game and the portal and three characters. But you also get the cards. You also get a nice little poster that has all like 40 characters on it. We looked through them.
But just wait, next year there'll be 40 more.
Probably for the next one that comes out, Skylander 2.
That's like how many sets and renditions of Pokemon cards and Yu-Gi-Oh cards have been out since they've started.
Well, you know, it's actually a neat concept in the game and the ability. And part of the gameplay, too, is so you've got your three characters and you're playing along and that character gets killed, runs out of life. You simply pull that character off, throw another character on, and you continue right where you left off. Now, if all three of characters, you know, you only have three characters and all right. three pass away, you restart the chapter from where it was.
So the there's beginning. No saving points in there?
Not in once you start the chapter that I know of.
Ooh, I hate those.
It's pretty hard to die, though.
Is it? No, okay. Actually, when you get later on in levels, it's not as hard to die.
Because I know a lot of Logans have the saving points.
Yeah.
And we've played a few that didn't have the saving points, like you said, had to do the chapter. Got pissed off at a game one time. I threw the controller. I was at the very end, and my backside gets blown off, and I'm dead on the ground. I was like, with a little other word in there besides that one.
This coming from a non-gamer.
Yeah.
And it,
this is why he doesn't game.
Yes. And I was back to the beginning, and I haven't.
How many TVs have you ruined throwing the remote at it?
Oh, it's just the remote at the floor. Oh. I don't want to ruin the TV.
There goes the 50-inch LCD. Oh.
That was on Danger Girl. That'll date me. That's been about 15-year-old game, probably.
So, you know, it's, yeah, besides Richard's lack of gaming ability.
Experience.
Experience. I want to say ability, experience. I think it'd be an interesting if, you know, the library does have, you know, you do have a gaming area or games. Even if they have, you know, one in-house, it may be something. It'd be interesting. It may be something that even if you don't rent video games out, but you have a Wii or a PS3 or an Xbox or whatever.
In-house system.
In-house system. You could almost start a gaming kind of club right. with one of these.
I do know. There are libraries that do have in-house systems. They don't mm-hmm. check them out, and they don't
right.
check out games either. There are some libraries that do check out games. So
the whole system? Like you can
no,
go
just no, games. Just games. Games. Yeah. So depending on where you're at, you might have that ability. If you're a smaller library, that you have to maybe get a little inventive. We've tried and looked at it, but the board's hesitant because if you get one game, do you want to get all platforms or just stay with one?
That's where it's hard with that. But that's what I said. My thought was, you know, it is only two players at a time on the console. At least it is on the Wii. I'm assuming right. you... As a matter of fact, I'm going to say for the PS3 and the Xbox, it's the same way. The way it looked was... Because what I read about the portal says you could put three things on the portal at once.
Wow.
And I'm... One of them was something about an enhancement, and I can't remember what I actually read. That was 2 weeks ago when we bought the game. Yeah, it's... the portal's
kind of crowded.
It is. Two of them on there is kind of crowded. A third one would pretty much fill the portal. It's not wow. a real big thing.
But it has a strong enough sensor to get that third one, though.
Yeah, it said, said it'd do three. From what I understand, it's RFID, with radio frequency identifier,
thank
just
you.
In case.
Someone I know didn't some, know what that was.
Which is basically a little chip that puts out information about it, which I'm guessing is some kind of serial code number or something like that. You throw that on the portal, it's close enough, it reads it, and it tells the Wii what's all going on. But there are some parts to be aware of. The portal itself does take AAA batteries. AA. I think it takes three AA batteries. It does have a nice little, at least on the Wii one, it has a nice little spot in where you put the batteries where you can put the little USB dongle and hide it in there and keep it with it so you don't lose it. Because it's like, you know, half an inch by the width of a USB port.
Now,
it's
are
not
these
very dang big.
A physical connection with the Wii, or is it wireless?
It's wireless.
It's wireless.
It is wireless. Okay.
It is wireless. It's just a little dongle. Like you would get a wireless mouse for your laptop.
Right.
It's a little dongle like that you plug into the side, okay. into the back of your Wii. And again, I can't say with the Xbox or PS3 how that works. So, but there's some options to do with your gaming or with something if you want.
And one of the things, if you're not one that does in-house gameplay, if you're into the videos, some of the things that we do with pack-ins is that we use them as giveaways. So
yeah.
these little characters, you could put one one out, you know, for a week and say, put your names in there. If you're lucky enough, you'll get that character drawn.
Yeah, read a book, throw it in there, you know. Right. And at $10 a piece, it's not a bad little, I think they're $7.99 or something like that, or $8.99 or something like that, roughly $10. It'd be interesting. You could probably do a lot with it, with the characters and the game itself, if the library was to get it. I think it'd be a good option. If you rent games, it's one you probably have. It's pretty popular. If you don't have an in-house system, want to look for to start some kind of club or something to get kids into your library,
it might be a good start.
Might be a good start, too. It and seems know, pretty popular.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but gamers are pretty loyal to a game to a degree overall.
I would say a genre of game.
I would say a genre.
Like you have your first-person shooters.
Well, I'm kind of like, this is RPGers. A Spyro game.
Mm-hmm.
And Logan, he's a junior, and he's got 4 or 5 Spyro games. So he's followed that progression of storylines.
No storyline with the character.
So this might be another one where even some of the older kids might get it just to go back and relive the gaming experience of
they might
their younger age.
I don't know if this one, and I didn't keep up with any of the Spyro, so I know nothing about him other than he's in this game.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it might not be necessarily his game, but he's in it.
Yeah, he's in it. So
you would, yeah, I don't think you'd need to know Spyro before you played this game. So.
No, I don't think you would either. But it was interesting. It's kind of cool, and you know, I think it'd be a good thing if the library wanted to have that, or there's some options to do with it. And if you buy all 4 platforms, if you're a big enough library that has all 4 platforms, you probably could have, you know, right, not worry about the $70 price tag for all 4 of them. It would be interesting. Anything else, Chris? You got any comments on it? What are you saying? We took a nosedive somewhere here. Chris is playing with his helicopter. You got any more comments, Chris? Anything cool?
Nope.
No, none.
I think we're good. I gave my opinion, my idea.
I think, like I said, for a library, good starter, like you said. Keep it at that. And that, I think, will wrap it up for us tonight. We appreciate everybody listening out there. Keep having fun, because we're having fun. We'll catch you the next time. I can see it all so clear. Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any comic book publisher or distributor and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show host are their own and are not reflective of any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.